Don't miss the world's premier Christian Counseling Conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AACC United World Conference. See you in September.
Welcome to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. And on behalf of our hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help AACC equip the church and provide Christian mental health care to those in need, visit AACCFoundation.org to donate. Your gift will ensure that this program and your station remain on the air. Now, let's join our hosts, Dr. Tim and Zach Clinton.
Well, thank you for that, Jim. As a reminder, Life, Love, Faith, and Family is a production of the AACC. That's the American Association of Christian Counselors Foundation. We're listener-supported radio. If you'd like to support this radio program to ensure that we reach more people with encouraging messages anchored in the gospel, just go to AACCFoundation.org. That's AACCFoundation.org. And let me say thank you in advance. I'm Dr. Tim Clinton, here to welcome you back in and to let you know that today we're presenting part two of a special interview that my son Zach recently had with leading psychiatrist Dr. Carl Benzio. You can access the entire interview by going to our show page on oneplace.com. That's oneplace.com. Carl Benzio, by the way, is our colleague. He's the medical director of the AACC, the American Association of Christian Counselors. He's a licensed physician, MD, and a psychiatrist. He is also the co-founder of Honey Lake Clinic. That's a holistic mental health treatment center in Florida that applies biblical principles and the support to the treatment and recovery of their patients with incredible results. Dr. Benzio's expertise is psychological and spiritual principles in decision-making sciences with application to every facet of psychological health to help people flourish by God's design, even when times are tough and a person's mental health is not in a good place. There's going to be a lot of great information to unpack today. I hope it's going to benefit you or someone you know and really help improve your mental health well-being, your mental well-being, maybe create a sense of understanding and peace, or perhaps you could share this broadcast with someone else who could use a little help, hope, and encouragement, some soul care. I hope you'll lean into this conversation. Turn it up. So let's join my son, Zach Clinton, licensed professional counselor in residence, and Dr. Carl Benzio, in a conversation we've entitled The Intersection of Theology and Psychology, right here on Life, Love, Faith, and Family.
As we continue on, you're a psychiatrist, so you understand this way better than I would, but I want to get your perspective on this because one thing that a lot of people shy away from, even those that get to a point of, I'm going to receive help, I'm going to seek help in counseling, it's like from a psychologist, from a psychiatrist, but yet there are some people that get so terrified of the concept of medication. But medication, from your perspective, a faith-based approach, is medication right? Is it wrong? And how do you go about integrating those things in a healthy manner?
And so it's such an important question. And I love the fact that you use the term medications.
Yeah.
Because so many people use the term drugs.
Right.
So as we're working with people, we want to use the word medication. We want people to be compliant with medications. Yeah. Drugs are bad. We don't want them to use drugs.
That's
so
right.
Whenever these psychiatric medications are prescribed the right way, they do wondrous things. And we want people to be compliant with their medication. So thanks for using the word medication.
Sure.
So I'm a psychiatrist, been prescribing psychiatric medications for 35 years. I've seen them do amazing things in people's life and help their healing journey and play a big part in that. But in my 35 years of prescribing psychiatric medications, I've never seen them cure one person yet. So they don't cure anything.
That's right.
Okay. The cure comes from that neuroplasticity.
Yep.
Right, making good godly decisions. First of all, sometimes there's just medical issues, whether it's a thyroid problem, whether it's cancer, whether it's a cardiac condition. They're not getting, maybe they're anemic and they're not getting enough. My wife, Martine, has had bad anemia as a young person, and she was starting to feel depressed and a little slow and a little sluggish and felt that there was something. She was considering going to therapy to get help with that, and she just went to her doctor to just make sure everything was okay, and they found that her blood level was extremely low, and she almost, and she'd end up passing out a few days later, in fact. So there could be other medical issues, but if it's not a medical issue, we need to get to that underlying psychological issue, working on, well, what's our belief system? Are we applying that belief system to our everyday life and applying it to our decision making? Because that's what's going to renew our mind. Psychiatric medications, though, are a Band-Aid or a patch that sort of fix that biochemical injury that we have from faulty decision making or insults or hurts or wounds that we haven't processed completely in our lives. And so we have some glitches in our brain chemistry that lead to a bunch of different symptoms, whether they be depression, anxiety, OCD, ADHD, difficulty sleeping, restlessness. There's a whole myriad of psychiatric symptoms that we, you know, we screened for when we're doing evaluations and we're treating patients. And thankfully, God's given us the miracle of psychiatric medications to help with some of those symptoms. So sort of the analogy that I use with patients a lot of time is hypertension or high blood pressure. And when a person has high blood pressure, if we catch it early enough, usually all we need is better decision making.
That's right.
Decision making around sleep, around nutrition, exercise, diet, going to sleep at 11 o'clock, waking up at 7, getting your good 8 hours, no caffeine, no alcohol, no nicotine, no other drugs, forgiveness skills, conflict resolution, marriage skills, managing your finances better. All those skills, better decisions in those areas, are going to reduce your blood pressure. Now, if we come in the game a little too late and you're having some significant symptoms, maybe headaches, maybe blurred vision, well, now you're at risk of having a heart attack or having a stroke. All those skills are important. They're going to help you be a better decision maker and bring down your blood pressure, but that's going to take 3 months, 6 months, 12 months for those skills to be learned, practiced, implemented, and to bear fruit. Well, I don't want you to have a heart attack or a stroke while we're waiting. So I'm going to give you some blood pressure meds. That's going to bring your blood pressure down so that we hopefully avoid having that stroke or heart attack, and buys time for you to learn those skills. That's going to impact your biology. We're talking about that spirit, mind, body connection. That's going to impact your biology to bring your blood pressure down over time. You never see a doctor say, hey, just take this blood pressure med, but just continue to do all the crappy things in your life that you're doing. You know, you're going to be fine. No, he says, hey, take these medications. This will stop the heart attack or the or the stroke from happening. But you got to start to make some significant life improvements and life changes and be a better decision maker in these particular areas. That's going to save your life long term. Right. So the same way with the brain, it's a very similar kind of organ. If we catch it early, a lot of times just talk therapy and learning skills is the way to go. If we catch it later and there's some significant symptoms, whether it's suicidality or panic attacks that are interfering with your activities, whether it's anger and temper tantrums, whether it's cutting, self-injury, other life interfering or life altering behaviors or thoughts or emotions. Boy, that's going to create a lot of dysfunction and difficulties that's going to interfere with your decision making. Remember, wrong decision making interferes with your brain chemistry and makes it more injured. So we don't want to injure your brain chemistry. We want it to improve. So we're going to give some medications to reduce some of those symptoms to allow you then time to work with the therapist, your pastor, your small group leader, your own personal Bible study, your connection time with God, because that's what's going to build those skills. But would love those to work overnight, but even Jesus never cured anybody instantaneously from a psychological issue. So that takes time, and to me, the miracle of medications is God's gift to us to do that bandage or band-aid on the neurochemistry to allow some time for us to learn those skills and to decrease those symptoms to allow us to function better, to engage, to get out of bed, to go work with a therapist, to go home and practice the homework that a good therapist gives us so we can start to implement into our daily life. Oftentimes get patients that come in and say, hey, what's your goal? And they go, my goal is to get off meds. And I go, okay, well, that's interesting, but what really is your goal? Well, I just want to get off meds. I've been on them for 5 years. I just want to get off meds. So, well, in the Bible, I never really see that. Right. I see our goal is to glorify God as much as possible, period. Doesn't say as much as possible, but without my pillow or without my wife or without food, or without medications, it says glorify God as much as possible, period. So if I can glorify God 90% of the time on meds and 80% of the time off meds, I'm going to be on meds because I'm just called to glorify him as much as possible, period. Now, if I can glorify him 90% of the time on meds and 90% of the time off meds, sure, I'll go off meds. Now, the downside of medications, you know, they're not easy. Right. You know, sometimes some people are lucky that they don't have any side effects.
Right.
But most people have a little bit of side effects. You're introducing something unnatural to your body.
Yep.
So sometimes there's some side effects. And we're always trying to weigh the pros and the cons.
Yep.
Are we getting some benefit? And what's the side effect? Some side effects are minimal, and they last only a couple of weeks. And as your body gets adjusted, they go away. And some side effects, unfortunately, last for the patient's lifetime with a little bit of weight gain or a little bit of nausea or a little bit of diarrhea. But compared to not being suicidal or enjoying life or engaging with their kids or their spouse, they can deal with that other little side effect. Some people have significant side effects, whether it's sedation or whether it's a tremor for a surgeon or, you know, those kind of situations that really interfere with their functioning and either interfere with their decision-making or their ability to function. We can find another medication. So let's go off that one. We can find another one from that class for anxiety or mood or impulsivity or attention to be able to hopefully get the same benefits without the side effects.
It's like, why wouldn't you consider doing that if God is allowing you the opportunity of glorifying him in a more effective and efficient manner? And it's like, man, you know what? What I always heard and taught in our master's program and in my PhD is that at the end of the day, sometimes the greatest, you know, marriage is having therapy and counseling and being able to have that talk therapy while at the same time partnering and coupling it with the proper, in a sense, dosage of medication. Whatever is going to work best for you, there is no shame and there is no stigma in that as long as it is benefiting you in the long run, keeping the ultimate purpose for which we are created in mind. And Carl, as we continue on in our conversation, something that you brought up now several times is this idea of decision making and the impact it can have not only on our lives and who we are today, but also in the trajectory of who we are becoming. We're all in this process of becoming. And I know something that you have built out and implemented in several lives, something that you have afforded to me and shared with me that now I use with a lot of clients and those that I have the opportunity of walking alongside of, is your Spears decision making model. If you would, just for all of those out there listening, and dive into the acronym for them and help them understand each step, if you would.
Yeah, exactly. So decision-making is the most important skill that we have. Decisions determine our life. We teach decision-making in many areas of our life as a parent, as a coach, as a spouse, with our finances, but oftentimes we don't really teach the actual mechanics of decision-making itself. So in order to be a good decision-maker, we need to know, well, what is going on up here in this really cool thing that God gave us called our mind? And so as I was on my own personal journey and exploration, combining that with what I was learning scientifically and reading from Jesus' decisions, I saw that there are six elements in every single decision, and they occur in this same exact sequence every decision we make. And we make 300, 400,000 decisions a day. Now, a lot of them are automatic, like we're walking, and so the next step is sort of an automatic one. But we always have a choice of, do I want to continue on that path, or do I want to deviate to another, go after something else? The first letter of each one of those elements spells out the word spears, S-P-E-A-R-S. So I'm just going to go through each one of them. Yeah. The first one is stimulus. So stimulus or situation is anything that evokes a decision. So anything that comes up in our life and we need to make a response to or decision about. And so whenever we have a situation come upon us, like somebody cuts us off in the parking lot, all of a sudden we start searching our database of information, all that stored stuff that we have, unconsciously most of it, we're We're perusing it to try to figure out, well, what information is important for me to understand? Am I going to survive? What allows me to get through this situation, to maximize the pleasure, minimize the pain, and conserve energy? So as we look at that data, we take in about 11 million bits per second. That's about 700,000 words per second. And we take it through our lenses, mostly our eyes and our ears. And so that's the second letter, perception. So as we're looking at all that data and the situation, we're looking at it through these lenses. We're perceiving it. Now, we all have different perceptions and lenses based on our families of origin and based on our life experiences. I'm a Steeler fan.
That's right. Me too.
There we go, bro. And but I live in the Philadelphia area, so there's a lot of Eagles fans. So we could see the Eagles score a touchdown. My perception is, oh, man, that team I've been rooting for all my life and my family and passed on generation after generation isn't going to win the Super Bowl. So then I'm bummed out. Whereas my Eagle fans, friends, are they're saying, oh, wow, my team's going to win the Super Bowl. So their perception is, yeah, you know, they're going to have a big parade in town, and so they have a happy feeling. So we see the same exact event, but you can have different perceptions. None of us have lived in the same shoes as anybody else, so we all have a little bit of different perception about things. And that's really the key step, because in order for us to make good decisions, we need to be able to perceive. As Jesus said, we need to see clearly. We need to see truth, see reality. So after our perception comes an emotion. So a lot of people think emotions just come out of the blue. But emotions don't come out of the blue. I'm not driving down the road and all of a sudden I'm angry just for no reason. There's usually a situation. From that situation, I have a perception. From that perception, I have an emotion. Just like I saw that touchdown pass, I had a perception that, wow, my team's going to lose and not make it to the Super Bowl. My emotion is a bummed out one. So again, we have all these emotions that come from a lot of different reasons, a lot of different experiences in life, and people that have role modeled various reactions and emotions for us. Then the fourth one is assessment. So after I have a situation, a guy cuts me off, I have a perception, oh my gosh, he might hurt me, or he's going to take advantage of me, or he's trying to push his will over my will. I have emotion, anger, frustration. Now I can assess my options. What are my options? Do I honk my horn? Do I curse at him? Do I ram into his car? Do I tailgate him for the next 5 miles, showing him, well, no, I can irritate you just as much as you irritated me? Or do I let him go and say, well, maybe he got some bad news, or maybe his wife is just went into labor. Maybe she's got to get to the hospital, and he's trying to get there for the delivery of his first baby or something. So we assess our options. And then we pull the trigger on, well, what option makes the most sense? You know, what option is usually from a sort of a fleshly standpoint, that first option usually isn't the best option. Usually that's from a me-centered standpoint, not from a God or what's best for the overall, my overall well-being and health. So then we pull the trigger on the best option or a combination of options. That's our response, R. And then the last one, S, for summary thought is, well, how did that decision work? Did that work for me? Did that give me what I'm looking for? Should I use that same decision in future situations when I'm in that same predicament in the future? Now, sometimes that distance between stimulus and response is a millisecond.
Yeah.
Something happens and boom, we're firing. You know, either a sarcastic remark, an eye roll, or hey, that's awesome, that's cool, and something really positive. And sometimes that distance can be a couple months. Wow, you know, my car broke down, and I really need another one, and I'm going to look at a bunch of different options and take in what my needs are and do sort of a, you know, cost-benefit or pros and cons sheet and find out what's the best price and talk to a bunch of different dealers, test drive, and it's 2 months later that I make, the decision. But those are the six elements, and in that same sequence every single time. But since perception, assessment, and summary thought are thinking ones, because our mind works so fast, sometimes we blow by the thinking ones and we only see the situation, our emotions, and our response. Yeah. And we're like, boy, well, why did I do that? Right. Why did I say that? Oh, man, I wish I had a rewind button and I could do it differently. But we do have a rewind button, and then the next day, we have a chance to do things totally different. But we often do it the same way. What's important is, are we equipped any differently? Not do I get a rewind button. Rewind buttons don't make a difference if I'm not equipped any differently. So that's what we're really looking for. Well, how do we equip ourselves, or how do we equip those people that we're helping? If you're a parent, how do you equip your kids to sort of understand, hey, these are the six elements. We both play a lot of ball.
Absolutely.
They say great athletes are ones that the game slows down for them.
Yep.
Or they're able to see a couple plays ahead. And what worked in my life and what I see happen in patients' lives, and when they see that, wow, these are these six elements, and they happen in my mind like that, wow, after just a little bit of practice, their mind slows down. instead of just rolling right through those so fast, and then 10 minutes later, oh man, why did I do that? Boy, that was the dumbest thing to say. Man, now I'm in so much trouble. I got to make up for that and do this, and you know, I have a whole litany of things to do. The game slows down for them, and they're able to be much more successful in their decision-making.
What I love about this model is that it has helped me not only in my decision-making, but I've been able to pass it along to individuals, again, that I see in sessions, especially the next generation. They love it. They love the name of it, Spears, especially young boys. They're like, dude, this is awesome, exactly. Right? But I really appreciate how it's helped me. It can be a very efficient process, but it also helps me make not emotional reactions, but effective responses. It takes me through the process. I can do it in a very time-sensitive manner, and then again, be able to have a better decision no matter what stimulus may be coming up against me.
Well, it's very practical. So for therapists or people that are coaching or working, it allows you to help them in the moment with better decision-making now with situations that are happening in their life. But it also allows us, as we look at, well, why did I make that decision? If we do a psychological autopsy and unpack wrong decisions that we made, we start to see, well, what was some of the misinformation that was going on or that was bubbling in there whenever that situation was presented? There must have been some wrong information that was, you know, I was using that made the wrong answer look right and the right answer look wrong, right? That Romans 7 passage that we talked about earlier. And so by being able to unpack that a little bit, it allows us to get in that unconscious space, which is, that's what really therapy and that sanctification process is. Well, what's really in our heart? We're told to guard our heart with all diligence, but we usually don't do a very good job of guarding our heart or doing inventory of what's in my heart, because out of my heart comes the wellspring or the decisions or the matters of life. So I need to understand what's going on there. But sometimes if you ask a person, well, what's going on in your heart? I don't know. But if you say, hey, tell me about some decisions you've been making. Okay, well, let's unpack those decisions and tell me what motivated you to pick that choice as opposed to this choice. Like, why did you punch your boss as opposed to saying, I'm sorry, or hey, we need to go to arbitration, or hey, let's ask a coworker and to see how they saw the situation. You know, why did you? Well, now we start to see some of that data back there about how they were treated as a kid or authority figures in their life or people that were aggressive. And now they start to understand, wow, these things just don't happen randomly or magically. There's a rhyme and a reason, and we can unpack that, and God has allowed us a process to be able to be good stewards of what's going on inside there.
Well, I'm so grateful that you have put forth such effort and such intentionality and such a valuable resource and tool that we can all benefit from to enhance our decision-making process in our own personal lives. You know, Carl, I could sit here and chat with you literally for forever, but we have very time-sensitive issues. There are other things that I would love to unpack, like the board of directors and the significance of relationships and people in our lives and so much more. But as we kind of wrap up our conversation today, where can people go to find out more about you, all the incredible things that you're doing? Even, I know you're new to social media, Instagram. Come on, give me a handle here so people can find your stuff. You have great videos. Where can they go?
Yeah, Dr. Carl Benzio, either Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, you know, all those different cool things that are out there that my daughter helps me with. So, yeah, getting involved with those. It's really about Christian psychiatry made simple, so how we can understand some of these concepts a little bit easier. So instead of being overwhelmed and thinking, man, I have no idea what the heck is going on up here in my head, and I'm just sort of screwed, or this is the way I'm wired, and I've tried to change, and I can't. No, there's incredible ways we can change. Just as I shared my, you know, the comeback story that God's authored for me, everybody has an awesome comeback story that's available for them. But God in His Word and in His grace and the Holy Spirit working in us and through us and speaking to us can help us understand, command, and excel at stewarding our mind.
Be sure to check out all the incredible things and all the incredible resources that Dr. Carl Benzio is offering. And let me tell you, my friend, thank you so much for your time, for your commitment to excellence in our profession, for continuing to be a pioneering leader and partner with us here at AACC. We love and appreciate you, and I will see you on the pickleball courts very soon.
All right, babe. Let's work on that shot, man. We're going to get after it, me and you.
Appreciate you, sir.
Thanks, dude. Always a pleasure.
Thanks for listening to Life, Love, Faith, and Family, a production of the American Association of Christian Counselors. If you enjoyed today's broadcast and want to help equip the church to provide Christian mental health care, visit aaccfoundation.org. Your donation ensures this program and your station stay on the air. On behalf of our co-hosts, Dr. Tim Clinton and his son, Zach, this is Jim Kress. We look forward to having you with us again next time. May God bless you.
Don't miss the world's premier Christian counseling conference event, the 2025 AACC United World Conference. It has sold out the last 10 times in a row, and this one is shaping up to be the best one ever. Returning to the magnificent Opryland Hotel in Nashville, September 2025. With amazing plenary experts, over 50 leading pre-con workshops, over 25 counseling and recovery tracks, and over 175 clinical, academic, and biblical workshops, so you can tailor the conference to meet your personal and professional goals. This year's World Conference features world-leading and dynamic experts like Kurt Thompson, Henry Cloud, Tyler Vanderweel, Harold Koenig, Tim Timberlake, Gary Chapman, Daniel Amen, Lisa Turkhurst, Jenny Allen, Tim and Zach Clinton, and so much more. Enjoy incredible praise and worship with special guests, Chris Tomlin, Katie Nicole, and Micah Tyler. I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. Make plans to attend now. The World Conference has sold out the last 10 times in a row with nearly 7,000 counselors and mental health and ministry leaders from all 50 states and 40 different countries represented. Register now for the best savings at worldconference.net. That's worldconference.net. The 2025 AECC United World Conference. See you in September.